Look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, just 90 minutes or so, 90 miles actually, east of the Republican National Convention that's taking place as we speak. Of course, we broadcast live every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network, our flagship network. Global Star Radio Network. We're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, that's BTR, and YouTube as well. You can watch us live on YouTube. Just see, we're right there. Yeah, there we are. Links to each audio and video broadcasting venue can be found at HagmanandHagman.com. Don't forget, folks, we've got two different websites, HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com and HagmanReport.com. HagmanandHagman.com, show information, HagmanReport.com, show prep, and vital information. And I'm Doug Hagman, the Helmuth Film Investigator, researcher, son, Joe Hagman. Something I like to call, affectionately, America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. I want to welcome all of our listeners from all across the country, all across the world. Thank you for tuning in to us. We know that we're up against heavy competition. It's the RNC. Heavy competition. Between that and reruns of The Love Boat, it's a hard choice, man. It really is. But seriously, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us, Joe. A lot to get into today, that's for sure.
Yeah, we sure do. There's a lot going on around the country. We still have ongoing the Republican National Convention.
It's going to continue.
We have...
Right through November.
Protests underway there and skirmishes around the city from the KKK to Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh, yeah, they're good friends at Westboro Baptist Church. Oh, shoot. Somebody grab that.
Had a little, a wardrobe malfunction over there? Spill a cup of coffee? All right, no, we're going to get into it.
Oh, that was horrible. That was absolutely, the carnage.
I didn't see what's going on over there, so.
That was, for example, that was as bad as Joe. That was what it looked like you, okay?
Can't be good. Yeah, we got a number of things to get into.
Help me. Yeah. Take over for me. Okay.
Get into the Republican National Convention. We're going to get into the attempted coup, a military coup in Turkey, and some of the facts behind that, because what is being reported as an attempted coup seems to be a setup from the beginning in a move, I would say, that Erdogan is using to, consolidate power, as well as taking away the rights of more citizens in Turkey. And it looks like some of the people in the military and the police were set up. There's speculation that there was a drill that was taking place. A lot to get into. Also, there was another police officer shot in Kansas City, and he is dead. He was a police chief, I believe. I'm going to get the latest on that, because the story I have on that was from a few hours ago when the officer was in critical condition, now has passed away, sadly. And we're going to get into some other things. Also, Stan Dale will be back tonight with us. He gave me a call earlier today, and we talked for a little bit. He is just coming off the prophecy conference that happened in Colorado, where Stan and Paul McGuire and a number of other people were speaking. And he's going to be joining us, as he does every Tuesday, in the third hour, to get into some of what he talked about at the conference in his lecture series, and some other information. And I want to say thank you to those listeners out there who attended the conference. Stan said that our audience was very much a presence at the conference, and he was very happy and thankful for that. So I want to extend that thank you to you people out there who attended the conference and who had Stan and Holly in your prayers. And it was a great event. And you can go to prophecywatchers.com to get the DVDs. I don't believe the live stream is available unless there was purchased before. But definitely something to look forward to, as there was, I think, 28 or 32 speakers there. Just fantastic, as I hear him crying over there, my dad.
Oh, the humanity.
I'm almost... I'm so curious. I'm ready to get up and get off camera to see what happened over there.
We had a tragedy over here.
Is anything destroyed?
No. You know, we have a rule in the studio. I'm out of breath. You don't bring drinks in, except I mean we. Anyway. I knocked my drink off of the, when I say drink, I'm the purple stick. To those people, I knocked my purple stick mix off of, we've got a shelf here. You're not
getting any wires?
Well, that was my concern, whether I got any of the wires. And oh my. Oh, the humanity.
Let's
hang on. You want to bring a camera and show this mess I created? Yeah, all right.
Police captain shot and killed.
I can't make this stuff up.
All right. Kansas City Police Chief Terry Ziegler said a police officer was shot and later died Tuesday afternoon. The officer had been taken to the hospital in critical condition. It was a male officer. The trauma surgeon at Kansas University Medical Center said the police captain had died of his injuries, according to the Associated Press.
Dave Melton
has been identified as the police officer killed, police captain in Kansas City.
Oh, man.
A spokesman for the police department earlier said the police officer's condition was critical, and the incident happened in a residential neighborhood northwest of Kansas City, Kansas, at 22nd and Haskell. The shooting of the police captain occurred when he was responding to a report of shots fired by several people in a car. When the officers arrived on the scene, three of the four people who had been shooting from the car jumped out and ran away, the Kansas City Police Department said in a statement. The police said there were two suspects. One was in custody. Another is still at large. The police officer was taken to the Kansas University Medical Center, and where he passed away from his injuries.
Okay.
So again, another.
No, I apologize for being otherwise distracted on this of all the story. I mean, this is an important story. Is there a suspect?
One suspect is in custody. Another is at large.
All right. Conspiracy, but, the ambush, you know, against the police officers. What's the motive?
Well, what they say is they're responding to a call of shots fired,
right,
by several people in a car. When the officers arrived, three or four people who had been shooting from a car jumped out and ran away. Now the police say there were two suspects. One's in custody, and another is at large.
All right. And any description of the one at large or the one in custody?
No, no.
Any motive?
No, but
there you go.
Don't know if this is, and I would say no to this being an ambush killing. It appears that they were responding, the police officer was responding to shots fired, and so it looks like he came on to the crime scene and engaged the suspects and became shot himself and has passed away.
It's
I think
like
that
I said
brings
yesterday.
The total to 32 officers killed this year, which at this point last year was 18.
Not sure of the numbers, but it sounds about right. So, and if I heard you correctly, the officer in critical condition in Baton Rouge passed away. Is that what you're, did you tell me that?
No, I did not.
Or
this was Kansas City police captain killed in Kansas City.
Do we know the status of the Baton Rouge police officer that was in critical condition? Do we know, is there any update that we've seen on his condition?
No, not that I've seen. And that's something we should look into. You know, there's a lot of coverage right now from the RNC to things happening at Fox News.
Right.
As Roger Ailes seems to be on his way out at Fox News, and if you look at the headlines on Drudge, it mentions that from Fox and Friends to The Five, Bill O'Reilly, Greta Van Susteren, Hannity, Shepard Smith are meeting to discuss leaving the network in show of support for Roger Ailes.
Well, O'Reilly and I think Hannity and perhaps one other, they've got clauses in their contract that follow Ailes. So in other words, if Ailes goes, they're free to go as well. I know O'Reilly's one of the primary ones. Their loyalty is to Ailes in their contracts. As talent is associated with Ailes. And it's interesting, too, Joe, you mentioned this, how Megyn Kelly had... there was a coup going on at Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Now...
It looks like they're going to get a facelift.
Well, yeah. I guess, okay, my question is this orchestrated like everything else is, or is this a situation where a cigar is just a cigar in terms of appearance? And pardon that expression, okay, that made famous during the Clinton days, of course. I mean, is this what it appears to be, or is there something deeper behind this? That's my question on this. When I saw this earlier today.
Well, this stems from a complaint in 2006 that Megyn Kelly launched against Ailes, a sexual assault complaint or sexual harassment complaint. Right. Apparently, she did not like the way that he gave her a hug,
okay. She was interviewed from... who's the talent that left that filed the suit? Not Megyn Kelly, but the other one that filed the suit. My goodness, that really messed me up here. The woman that not Megyn Kelly, the initial person who filed the complaint against Ailes. In the run-up to that complaint, they interviewed people at Fox News, including Megyn Kelly.
Okay,
and Megyn Kelly did state that, hey, back in 2006, there was an issue with Ailes and me, and went into detail with the
investigators. Gretchen Carlson,
thank you so much. Folks, you knew that. You could have helped me out. Just shout it out from the studio audience out there. but seriously, so that's where that came from. And there's a division there, the Ailes people and others. Now, I had a source, it was a female source in Fox News, New York City, and this individual had given me a lot of information during the time of the Obama birth certificate, the Obama nomination, saying that basically they were all under kind of tight surveillance there. When I say all of them, some of the workers, because there were leaks coming out of Fox News, and I talked to this young woman who was pregnant, and she has since, she was not born in the United States, or is not from the United States, and she's being harassed and was under surveillance during a time period when we were looking for
her. I remember that.
Getting up. And she ultimately left the country, went back to where she was, you know, her original country. But she was a secretary at Fox News. And So, with these news companies, these news networks, all is not what it appears. However, is this exactly what it appears? That's my question.
And that's a good question.
And who cares if it is? And I don't mean to be crass, but...
Right. I mean, in my opinion, they could use a facelift and get some new talent in there. You know, half of the people on there are worthless as journalists, you know, writing what is given to them to, or reading what is given to them to read, reporting at an angle they're told to report on. Just like any mainstream news outlet, very biased and with an agenda. The only difference is now is Fox is the number one cable news rated TV station, which could, this situation could really change the ratings. I don't know.
Well,
but, you know, it would be good because if Bill O'Reilly left, if Sean Hannity left, they were, as much as people like to think, they're not doing any favors to the public out there.
And I got to tell you, too, listening and watching the Shepard Smith, man, I can only take, like, seconds of doses of Shepard Smith.
It depends on what he's talking about.
Yeah. I mean, but when he was talking...
Bill O'Reilly gets me more.
Well, they kind of all do. And the conservative part of this, Joe, it's not... You know, you've got moral social conservatives, where people... this is my definition of a social conservative, is you believe in a biblical family, a nuclear family, with one husband, one wife, and children, natural children or adopted children, if you can't have children, okay? That's, to me, a social conservative or a conservative on social issues, and does not believe believes in the biblical status of the nuclear family. So Fox, to me, has lost all of that.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost their moral compass. Is there anyone left in the mainstream media, my question to you, that is God-fearing, that is, that believes in that marriage is, you know, by definition, biblical, between a man and a woman, that is anti-abortion, anti-infanticide? Any in the mainstream media like that?
I'm definitely not the person to ask about this, because the mainstream media is something that I try to stay away from as much as possible, aside from sound bites that make headlines and crazy quotes. Like you mentioned yesterday, Pat Smith giving a talk at the RNC, and Chris Matthews responds to it. Well, I found something even worse than this. I don't know if you've heard of a GQ journalist named Bethlehem Scholes.
Yeah. I'm not sure the exact pronunciation of the last name.
This article says, the speech by one of Hillary Clinton Benghazi victims ruined the night for Chris Matthews, but it really hit home for this person who's a GQ journalist. Bethlehem Scholes says, I don't care how many children Pat Smith lost, I would like to beat her to death. On Twitter.
So...
this is a man, and it was deleted right away. And now, if you follow the tweets here, it says, now just wait and see how many veiled threats of violence come from this stage tonight, then come tell me how out of line I was. Goes on to start feeling sorry for themselves and saying, this is making me so hopeless. If this account gets deleted because of what I've said, this country is really a sham. But, again, GQ journalist Bethlehem Scholes, I don't care how many children Pat Smith lost, I would like to beat her to death, in a tweet.
Yeah, he since apologized. I just want to, this from the Washington Post, to say that under no circumstances is it okay to invoke violence against women, of course.
Especially a victim of the mother of a slain U.S. personnel in overseas who was left to die.
And by the way,
administration.
Right. By the way, this Bethlehem Shoals is a pseudonym for a guy by the name of Nathaniel Friedman.
Thank you.
Okay.
I was looking for that.
Nathaniel Friedman. That's the dweeb that tweeted a death wish of the mother of the slain Sean Smith, the who criticized Hillary Clinton. All right. And here's what this Nathaniel Friedman, this poor excuse of a writer, said, and I quote: "I don't care how many children Pat Smith lost, I would like to beat her to death." That Nathaniel Friedman from GQ magazine. The tweet was deleted but captured before any of the news beforehand by News Watchdog Media Research Center. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
I scrunched my words there. By the News Watchdog Media Research Center. Patricia Smith told a nationally televised audience of about 10 million people that she blames Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, although she didn't say those words, that she blames Clinton for the death of her son. And, again, this little, twerp, you know, I wonder how old this Nathaniel Friedman is. I got a real problem with people who talk like that.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
I mean, you're not talking to some politician or, you know, some celebrity who is jargoning for a political, person. You're talking about a mother of a victim from the Benghazi attacks who was speaking her heart and telling the truth. And because this person doesn't agree with what she said, he wants to beat her. So he's saying he wants to beat her to death. I mean, he makes Chris Matthews look good from what he said yesterday about how she ruined the evening.
Well,
at the convention.
I just found out that Bethlehem Shoals, this Nathaniel Friedman, was born on January 1st, 1978. What a way to bring the year in. He's considered an American journalist and sports blogger. Well, apparently, you know, he should stick to sports. And specializing in U.S. international basketball. This is the GQ writer. And you know, I just have a real issue with this because I can put yourself in Patricia Smith's place and then having this still wet behind the ears young man, Nathaniel Friedman, say something like that about Patricia Smith. Shame on you. And shame on GQ magazine. If, you know, imagine.
Kurt Schilling on from ESPN.
There you go.
After he was suspended in last fall for stating that Hillary Clinton deserved to be in prison on his own social media account.
Right.
And then he was fired this spring after stating in his own unique way that men's bathrooms are for men and women's bathroom is for a woman.
Well,
is he 38 now? 38-year-old guy?
38. Hey, GQ magazine, fire Nathaniel Friedman, fire Bethlehem Shoals.
I don't even know anybody who reads little, GQ magazine.
He looks like a...
Should have said that on there.
He
did it in his little funny voice.
Yeah, he looks like a little love. I'm sorry. You know what?
Well, we're at this point.
I can't do that. Go ahead.
Let's take a short break and bring you a word from our partner in our radio endeavor, Minuteman Stoves.
There you go.
Minuteman Rocket
Stove. Bring some sanity here.
Folks, go to MinutemanStove.com. Check out their awesome, lightweight, portable rocket stove. It's a fantastic stove built out of a ammo can, but it is different from other ammo cans as it's reinforced with 1/8 inch steel. It's also there's a burner welded onto it. It's very easy to move, easy to clean, and very easy to use. Using any dry wood or tinder along with the fire sticks they have makes cooking on the go in camping situations or survival situations without power very easy and simple. Folks, go to MinutemanStove.com. Mr. Miller is the owner. if you have any questions about the product, send them an email or give them a call. But you cannot beat the efficiency and the mobility of Minuteman stove, Minuteman rocket stove.
Yeah. I mean, we used it and tested it, tried it out. Works good. And it works well if you have anything that needs to, anything that needs heated up and cooked, then it's very efficient. And it doesn't, and you could seal it too. It's got a rubber seal.
It's about, what, 10 inches, 8 inches by maybe 5 inches high?
Yeah.
And it's, as I said, reinforced with steel. The fire sticks that it comes with, you get 8,000 to 15,000.
I think.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, Minuteman Rocket Stove, MinutemanStove.com. Check that out.
And portions of tonight's broadcast also brought to you by WholeTonesLive.com. Go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. Another great company for melodious music of King David and frequencies. My goodness, WholeTonesLive.com. Thanks for that. And thanks for getting me off that, that rant there, because, you know, thank you. I want to mention a couple of things here, because we've got the smartest audience in the entire, on the entire planet. First of all, thank you, Mary. Mary had sent a link where the police officer that was wounded,
in Baton Rouge,
is paralyzed on a ventilator. I just want to make sure I've got the right one here, because I didn't check this out. Police Chief Kevin Scott announced Monday that wounded Baldwin Officer Michael Flamion is paralyzed from the neck down.
This is
horrible.
Yeah, okay, this is not the Baton Rouge police officer. This is the officer who was ambushed in his car in Missouri.
Right.
July 8th. This was on the 8th. We talked about this yesterday and the days before. But he was 31 years old.
Is
31 years old.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, the family started a GoFundMe page to raise $250,000. And as of yesterday, it was already up to $180,000, which is just excellent for the public to step up and take care of one of their own.
The community response, or, you know, really members of the, at least my generation, yours, not so much, but mine, ours, you know what I'm talking about, guys especially my age. We rally, right? When needed. But anyway, and thank you, Mary, for that, update on the other officer. A couple of things from other emailers here.
And they got the GoFundMe page. I'm sorry. No. $264,000 out of $325,000 they have raised by 3,865 people in 10 days.
That's amazing. It's great. By the way, Larry M. from Santa Clarita, our Baltic Dry Index man, is now the resident expert on the conventions. RNC has officially nominated Donald J. Trump as a Republican candidate for President of the United States, effective 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time today. Thank you for that.
And that's no surprise. We were watching some of the live coverage from the RNC before the show as they were going alphabetical order, state by state, to list how the delegates voted. And it was clear from, I don't know, the first five states, you know, Donald Trump was going to be the nominee. Now, there is still speculation about Ted Cruz and a walkout of Cruz supporting Republicans at the convention. Absolutely not. Actually, it would probably do those in the convention as well as the Donald Trump supporters a favor in showing where the party elite and people in the party stand. As far as where his support is concerned, if they were to do such a thing. Now, there has been an escalation in protesting and fighting outside the convention. Apparently, people have been using feces and urine against each other in fights. The Alex Jones got into it.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Some people there in the crowd outside while he was speaking out of a bullhorn, and There are reports of the KKK and others that are starting trouble. And there's also reports of some kind of illness going around at the RNC that includes diarrhea and vomiting. And I have the, I didn't say the story, but some kind of virus. It's similar to the flu, a neurovirus infection.
Yeah, but you know,
outbreak reported among GOP convention staffers.
Okay, and that's a lot different than, we'll say, the people out in the
right,
public, the
right.
Staffers.
Mm. Yeah, this is happening inside the convention, which is something that people want to keep their eye on, as the convention lasts until Thursday, I believe, and apparently it's very easy to spread this norovirus.
Right.
We talked yesterday, switching gears here, we talked yesterday about the Axe attack in Germany.
Yes, and just couldn't figure out what the motive for that attack was.
Well, it's been reported that the German Axe terrorist reveals ISIS ties. Police have found a hand-painted Islamic State flag in the room of a young Afghan refugee who attacked passengers in a southeastern Germany with an axe.
So what you're saying is Islam had nothing to do with that?
Well, the interior minister. Now, the Bavarian interior minister said it was too early to say whether the youth was a member of the Islamic State. The Islamic State claimed responsibility for the attack, according to...
Wait a second. What I hear you saying is Islam is a religion of peace.
Yes.
Okay.
And the future does not belong to those who slander the prophet.
I see. So the axe... Okay, just to get this straight.
The axe,
there you go. But the axe was actually responsible for the attack.
Well, there was no trees in the area.
Well, I'm sure there had to be a tree. Because why else would he be carrying an axe? Because Islam is a religion of peace, and that's what I heard you say. And Islam had nothing to do with the motive behind the attack. ISIS had nothing.
But regardless of them claiming responsibility and the hand-painted flag that the attacker was carrying, no, they didn't.
Right.
In Germany, I mean, and all of Europe is seeing the increase of these just senseless attacks taking place due to the influx of immigrants that have poured through.
So you're anti-immigration and you're a xenophobic bigot.
If you want to word it that way, I can word it a different way.
That's what I hear you say. So you hate immigrants, all immigrants?
No. But if we are going to go by the laws, at least in this country, immigrants have a legalization process. And not to,
so,
to mention that
wait a second.
The Obama administration lost their Supreme Court ruling on amnesty, is asking for a second ruling from the Supreme Court. Apparently the first one wasn't clear enough, and he didn't get his way. So
you hate all immigrants? That's what I hear you say.
That's what you hear me say. I hate all immigrants.
Yeah, you hate anyone who's not just like you.
That's
what
you're
saying.
That's a lot of people. No, I think the illegal immigration, as we've talked about, is a ruse to bring in, fighters of the Islamic State, as they have said themselves.
So what you're saying, Islam is a religion of peace.
Islam is. Been radicalized and turned into a religion of violence, at least for.
So you hate all Muslims?
No. Okay. See, you keep bringing up this word hate.
Well, it's all hate speech. That's all I hear from you is hate speech.
I'm going to call Coach Dave. He's going to have to come sort this out.
We need to file suit against each other, take it to court, and have it litigated. And then take it up to the highest court and then have new definitions of you know, we need to do this because, I mean, it would be only right because what I hear you saying is, you know, you hate immigrants and you hate sodomites.
And you would be, like the majority of the country who hears what they want to hear.
What I just heard you say is hate speech.
Well, what's your definition of hate speech?
You hate me because I'm different than you.
What's your definition of hate?
Anything that anything that I don't agree with, essentially. That's, no, you know, I'm going to stop being doing this. This is a ridiculous aspect of, seriously, it is getting so ridiculous when the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, all the amendments are being just, I don't know, twisted to the point where we have no rights anymore, or the rights that we do have are being eroded and marginalized, and those people who have the minority.
Well, you wanna,
are being elevated to special rights status.
We can dig into this a little bit more. There's an article out of the New American about Black Lives Matter activists to white folks, your money and your life. This article goes on to talk about the Black Lives Matter movement, which started from hashtag and social media. It has grown to become a force to be reckoned with. Okay. As Black Lives Matter claims to be about justice and equality, the leaders of Black Lives Matter and apologists frequently deny that the movement is itself racist and inflammatory.
So you're the racist for talking about it.
Last week, a Miss Shackelford had a...
That sounds like a made-up name.
A vulgarity-laden article published by Wear Your Voice, in which she makes it clear that white people are, at best, second-class citizens in the movement. In fact, she says the proper role of white folks is either as human shields, criminal agents, or financiers.
You want to fight me, don't you? I feel like you've just assaulted me. Assaulted me.
Well, you should call in, what are those, the emergency hate response teams that some of the university hired for the Trump chalkings of 2016.
Oh my gosh, there's no chalk in here, is there?
The students were offended by slogans like Trump 2016 and All Lives Matter, to the point where they needed counselors for emotional trauma as they read
I don't know if I can continue.
But
I'm starting to hyperventilate. Oh my god. Eric just, you see what happened? Eric just threw this eraser. It's actually a whiteboard eraser, so my PTSD is not that bad. But see, this is what we have to deal with. You know, it's kind of funny. Joe, I took away from your time, but
no.
And we're being just goofy a little bit. It started with me smelling the purple stick, but.
No, it started before that. We had a kind of a relaxed day today. Talked a lot on the phone with people and a
lot of phone calls.
Yeah,
a lot of 900 numbers and
we got a lot done and a lot figured out.
Anyway,
also, let me see here.
Yeah, you're right.
Turkey. This is what I wanted to get into. Turkey, the attempted military coup. There is a lot of news coming out about Turkey. And what really happened in the attempted coup, or potentially, this whole thing was a setup from the beginning, as right. It's being reported that Turkish intelligence knew military coup would be carried out in advance and had made put a plan in place in order to make Drogan look like a hero and a savior of the country, in reality, where he's just consolidating power and being able to change laws and restrict freedoms that he wanted to weeks before the coup, or attempted coup, is now being made to look like a hero, and this is getting out of hand. You have this country is being purged from universities, purging teachers to police officers to military personnel. Over 50,000 people in Turkey have been suspended or detained, and Erdogan knew of the military coup in advance, has been purging the army, military, police, the judiciary, now universities, schools, religious authorities, and intelligence agencies have been purged of over 50,000 members who have been suspended or detained, some humiliated, over 250 killed, and it's being reported out of Moscow. Media reports emerged that an undercover plot forced the faction to move the coup date. Initially, it had been planned to be carried out in the early hours of July 16th. On July 15th, the Turkish National Intelligence Organization was informed about a coup attempt. In its regard, the country's airspace was closed. Military air flights were prohibited, the armed forces says. Late on Friday, Turkish authorities said an attempted coup was taking place in the country. The coup attempt was suppressed by early Saturday, with Turkish Prime Minister Yildirim stating that all coup supporters had been identified and would be apprehended as the country was returning to normal life. Thousands of judiciary and senior civil service members have been removed from office in Turkey, and thousands of military personnel were arrested. Turkish Armed Forces confirmed in a statement Tuesday it had prior knowledge of a military faction coup plot late last week. So, and Erdogan again targeted more than 50,000 members of the leadership roles in all factions of his community, from religious to civil service to police to judiciary. And now what they're trying to do is say that this was part and planned by the United States, and Turkey vowed to root out allies of the U.S. and the U.S.-based cleric it has blamed for the abortive coup last week.
Right.
Widening a purge of the army and universities, schools, and religious authorities, as reiterating that, and the country of 80 million, which borders Syria and is a Western ally against the Islamic State. There's a lot of it depends on what website you go to, but you can get both sides of what is the allegedly the truth. One will say that you know, this was a surprise attack. Drogan didn't know it was happening, and the U.S. was behind it. Another says that they knew exactly what was happening, and they took the measures to make sure it failed before it was even started. And in order to make Erdogan look good, he's being hailed as the basically a new Muslim Hitler in the Middle East, and being propped up as some kind of to some kind of godlike stature in his country by his supporters now.
Well, think of this too. And I was talking to both Dave Hodges last night after the show for some time, and then early this morning I was talking to Steve Quayle, early by my standards, so it had to be early by his standards as well. And first of all, let me start with Steve. We were talking about Turkey, and we were talking about the coup, and he said, absolutely, look, this is Erdogan's planning in tandem with Obama's ideas as well. But at issue here, at the epicenter, at the prize, or the part that people are not paying attention to, is the control over the Incirlik Air Force Base, the Air Force Base, or the base in Turkey. And some pronounce it Incirlik, or the Incirlik, whatever. The home of the, what is it, the 39th Squadron? I'm looking here. Anyway, there's up to, what, 50 to 60, or there's 50 B-61 nuclear bombs on site, all right, at this base. Now, Turkey cut off the power. The temperatures there are 90 degrees. They've got no access to air conditioning in our base, or other non-essential powered amenities. So think about that. True News, Rick Wiles had reported on this. So what we're seeing here, folks, I believe, is, yeah, the coup, which was staged, but who's going to ultimately end up controlling or having possession of those nuclear weapons?
You know, there is, there's been a leak. WikiLeaks has released today the Erdogan files at 11 p.m. Ankara time. WikiLeaks released part one of the AKP emails. AKP, or the Justice and Development Party, is the ruling party of Turkey and is the political force behind the country's president.
Right.
Part one of the series covers 762 mailboxes, beginning with A through I, containing almost 300,000 emails. And this is the first part of the file dump. And the emails date back to as early as 2010. all the way up to July 6, 2016. The material was obtained a week before the attempted coup. However, WikiLeaks has moved forward with its publication schedule in response to the government's post-coup purges.
Well,
so these are something that we're going to have to go through. Folks, you can go on WikiLeaks, AKP-emails. WikiLeaks.org/AKP-emails.
And we should be putting these links up for the listeners at HagmanReport.com.
Well, you know, all it's right. Interesting. When this, as soon as this was released, WikiLeaks came under a cyber attack.
Yeah,
and their site was down for a while. And
yep.
It has just since popped back up with this information. So I was unable to search through this earlier, but now with the site backup, we can continue to dig through these and see how much was actually shared, how much information was shared about the coup before it happened, and what people were saying about it. Now, you mentioned something that Steve said on our show about the coup.
Right. And folks, Dave Hodges and Steve Quayle are both going to appear on our show to class it up a little bit on Monday. This coming Monday, the 25th, all right, I spoke with, again, Dave Hodges and Steve Quayle independently. And Steve and Dave are going to be talking about the coup and about the airbase in Iceland, about Russia's potential involvement. Steve and I had a long conversation about Russia, and is there some involvement of Russia? Certainly, there might very well. I mean, it certainly seems like there could very well be. The fate of the 50 nuclear bombers, 50 B-1 bombers and their nuclear warheads, I guess that would be more than 50 then. The fate of the 20,000 political, military, and police officials throughout the country, the fate of NATO itself. And it was on May 6, 2014 that you found this out, and I was speaking with Dave Hodges last night about the program when both Dave and Steve were on. Folks, they were talking about NATO, Europe, and the events taking place. So this is going to, essentially what they said during that program, it would be 2 years ago now, in last May, has already taken place. And it's amazing to listen to that program 2 years ago and how correct they were in their intelligence assessment. So they're coming back on Monday, and that's Dave Hodges and Steve Quayle, just to be clear. But yeah, so this coup, the coup was, I believe at this point, was 100% staged, and that's just from my my research. And if I may, before we go to the top of the hour, tomorrow is the 23rd anniversary of the murder of Vince Foster. I just want to bring this up. And that's what caused me to spill my Health Master's purple stick when I was moving the notes of moving the notes on the shelf here. But if you look at all of the evidence, and I'm going to be putting together the evidence in terms of the Star investigation, the Fisk investigation, the different reports, where the body was found. I've got pictures of me in Fort Marcy Park. Boy, a long time ago. I still had the dark hair. I had dark hair at that point, at that time in my life.
You actually have a little jar of...
But you can't say that because...
Okay.
Hey, Eric,
personal,
you know what?
Memento.
Can you, in that case, there's that small wooden box with a picture on it. Can you bring that to? Okay. Well, look at this, folks. I had done this.
Does that have to do with some kind of laws about these?
Yeah. Yeah. We can.
Okay, I guess
extradition, you know. I could still.
Yeah. I don't think anybody will be putting out warrants looking for anything you get.
Well, no, of course not. But Eric's
it's actually silly if you were to actually tell people what it was.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
You would never.
All right. What I did in this, I did this in 2003. My goodness. How long ago was that? 13 years ago, right? good math. Anyway, I did this in 2003. I don't know if you can see this. Let's see here. Okay. Okay. And if you can't see this, obviously, if you're listening to this on Global Search, you're not going to be able to see this. I'll describe it for you. What this is a shape generally like a casket. Don't worry about it, Eric. It's shaped kind of like a casket, and it's wooden.
Yeah, you can see it pretty good already.
And now you got me like, I don't know. You have the right remote? There we go. Look at that.
Scary.
This is not for sale. I made this up for, I'm trying to see if, okay. So this is shaped like a casket. And to those listeners who are visually impaired or visually unable to get this, you'll have to accept my apologies here. It's a wooden casket shaped box. And inside, okay, you can, on the outside, it's got 10 years, 1993 to 2003. This is the 10th anniversary of the murder of Vince Foster. Vincent W. Foster, Clinton administration White House deputy counsel, Fort Mercy Park. And what I did was the top where the linen would be, I've got pictures of Hillary Clinton and Vince Foster. And then inside, there is dirt. And this dirt is consistent with the dirt at Fort Mercy Park. Notice I chose my words very carefully, because you cannot take anything, including dirt, from a national park. That's against the law. So this dirt is very consistent with the dirt at Fort Mercy Park in here as evidence. And this is silica filled, and this came, let's see. Oh, I'm just going to say hypothetically came from the area where the body actually was found, the body of Vincent Foster. And you cannot walk across this without getting this all over your shoes. And if this was the dirt Fort Mercy Park, hypothetically speaking, of course, and the silica that's contained in the soil would stick to your shoes, stick to your pant legs, basically. Okay. And then this has all sorts of facts, and I start out by saying those who have been once intoxicated with power and have derived any kind of benefit from it, even though but for 1 year, can never willingly abandon it. Edmund Burke, back in 1790. I did not do justice to that particular thing. Anyway, and here is a set of pictures, and again, you don't have to really see this, of me in front of the Fort Mercy Park sign by the cannon where the body was found, showing my shoe, which is absent of any grass stain, or full of grass stains and silica, whereas Vince Foster's shoe was not, and of course the area of Fort Mercy Park, and then the facts on the back about a quote from Gene Wheaton, who was a special agent, U.S. Army CID, excerpts from the death of Vince Foster, what really happened. And basically, all I'm saying here is the fact that the facts don't add up. Vince Foster, the highest ranking official, if he was murdered, and I believe he was the highest ranking official since JFK to be murdered, and if those people who assert he committed suicide, the highest ranking White House official to commit suicide since Forrestal. So regardless of what your belief might be, a significant death nonetheless. But we're going to get more into that later. But the fact is, Joe has been with me when we've been gone to Fort Mercy Park. Mm-hmm. We've looked at this. We've looked at the facts. We've talked to people who won't admit this, but some funny things happened at the autopsy, who won't admit this publicly. There are some things done to send a message to those who might talk. The bottom line is, those people who say, and I submit this for your assessment, those people who say that he committed suicide and the body was moved have more of an agenda to cover than those people who say that he was actually murdered. In other words, be careful of who you listen to, folks. We're going to be right back
When we come back,
number two,
we're going to get into some immigration news and statistics, as well as a sanctuary city bill that has been put through by the Senate. The Senate rejects the funding of sanctuary cities. This bill was fast-tracked, and more on the other side. In third hour, Stan Deo. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.